The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Tarawai, Northwest London, Monday, 30th of November, Yudalad Kislev, Rav Mordechai Weiss, on the secret of happiness. The shiur has already begun.
So, obviously, needs an explanation. So, as we said before, the topic of today's shmir is called "What is the secret to happiness?" So, you know, this is something that's very people now, especially now in today's generation, something that people will pay lots of money to get some good advice of how to be happy. People obviously are suffering from unhappiness. Even people who don't necessarily suffer from depression, but you know, the people very often have like a general unhappiness within themselves, and obviously we have to find a way how to get people to become more happy. So I'd like to share with you a thought which I heard from a grandfather, a Milwaukee Rebbe, and I think it's a very, very useful piece of information that could come to very good use. If you internalize it properly, it could come to very, very good use. He made an interesting distinction that we see in this week's parsha. The parsha, there's two sentences. One sentence the Yaakov Avinu says, one sentence the Eitzah Verusha says, and it's very, very similar, but there's an enormous difference between the two. So when Yaakov Avinu offers to give Eitzah Verusha tells them these words, V'yoma Eitzah, Yeshli Rav. Ochi yihilachu ashalach. Yeshli rov. I have plenty. I have more than enough. Yeshli rov. I have plenty. I have more than enough. Yihilachu ashalach. Keep to yourself the things that you need. That's the solution that Eitzah Verusha said. When Yaakov Avinu, a few psukim later, he says a very, very similar thing. But there he says a different word completely. He says the words, yeah, v'chi yeshli koil. Kachmas v'chusi. Asher hivaslach ki chanani elekim v'chiyeshli koil. I have everything. It sounds very similar. He says yeshli rov. I have plenty. I have more than enough. And Yaakov Avinu says yeshli koil. I have everything. But there's an enormous difference between the two. And I'll explain it to Hashem. Yeshli rov means I have more than enough, which could only come from someone who believes that he is the one that runs the show himself. That I was the one that I made this fortune. I was the one that made all these people there and all this money I managed to accumulate. It was all because of myself. And I managed to make myself much more than I need. I made myself. I was someone who's a successful person and I managed to put together a fortune, a small fortune. Whereas, yes, someone who believes that there's no such thing, you don't do anything yourself. It's the Divine Shalom that he runs the show and he is the one that does everything and he is the one that gives each and every single person to his exact needs, exactly what he needs, to the most precise millimeter. He gives everything to the person exactly what he needs. And he gives the person not even a drop more than he needs and not even a drop less than he needs. He gives them everything he needs. So there's no such thing, someone who believes in the Rebbeinu Shalom, there's no such thing that I have more than enough. Because if it's more than enough, the Rebbeinu Shalom wouldn't have given it to you. If the Rebbeinu Shalom gave it to you, obviously this is the exact amount that's put to you. And had you had even a drop less, it would not have been good to you. And had you had even a drop more, it also would not have been good to you. You got the exact precise amount that you need. That's Yeshli Ko, that's the Akivin. Ayatollah Rusha, he lives with the Mahalach of Yeshli Roy, they have more than enough. And obviously, there's the simple danger that someone who believes in himself that he has more than enough, then when things do not go the way he wants, then obviously he has less than enough, because it goes together. Yes, if you have more than enough, then you have less than enough, because you're the one that runs the show. Someone who believes that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is what gives him exactly according to his needs, he never has more than enough and he never has less than enough. He has the exact amount that he needs in order to be Matzliach. So obviously the simple question that comes up is that people will say, how can you say that I'm not lacking anything? You're saying, Yeshli Koil, I have everything, I'm not lacking anything. I'm sure almost every single person in this room has something that he feels that he's lacking, that he feels that he could do with something more. He has something to daven for. Yes, the people are lacking in Chayat and Panus, some people are lacking in health, some people are lacking in in Eicha, some people are lacking in every area in life. So every person could say that there's something that he feels that he is lacking. How could we say, yesh li toil, I have everything that I need? His answer to this question is, there's a difference between wanting and needing. And to explain that, we'll explain it with a mushal that the Turim bring down. And the mushal is, there was once a king, he had a group of children, he wanted to build a palace. And he wanted that his kids, they themselves, should be the ones to build this palace. He knew each kid has something else that he's good at. One of them is good at actual architecture, the other one is good at building, the other one is good at planting fields, planting gardens, the other one is good at electricity, the other one is good at plumbing. So he called in each child, and he said, I'm going to give each of you, I'm going to give you your own mission, your own part in building this palace. And I'm going to give each and every single one of you the tools that you need in order to build the palace. So the one who was very good at architecture, he gave him all the rulers and this things, all the different things he needs, papers and various different things that's good for that can come to use in order to make the architecture, to make the blueprint. The other one who's good at building, he gave him a tractor, he gave him various different woods and stones and everything, all the equipment that he's going to need to build the building. The one who's good at electricity, he gave wires and he gave him everything that he's going to need for his part. And the one who's good at gardening, he gave him the seeds and he gave him everything that he's going to need for his job. He gave each and every person exactly the tools that they need for the job, and he gave them the exact mission that they have to do their part in building the palace. Now, obviously, the person who is very good at he's very good at the electricity. So he gets wires and he gets different drills and different things, and he's looking at his brother and he sees, wow, he got a tractor. He got a huge tractor. I wish I could have had that tractor. I wish I could have had the tractor. It's a big tractor, makes so much noise. It's powerful, strong, with the bulldozer. All I got was this little screwdriver that has a little light flashing at the end of it. What did I get? I didn't get anything. What he fails to understand is that obviously, had he had the tractor, he would not have been able to install these lights in the ceiling of the palace, because he can't install the light with the tractor. Tractor is good for what it's good at. But since your mission is not to build the actual palace, your mission is rather to put the lights and install the lights in the building, the electricity in the building, so that the tractor is not going to help you. So that you need wires and you need all the machinery that you need in order to install the electricity. Obviously, what that means for us is that each and every one of us were created with a specific mission. We were created with a specific mission, and that's the reason why we came down to this world. And obviously, I think we already spoke about this before, a mission does not necessarily mean one mission for your life, like one thing you have to accomplish throughout your life. That's also true. But a mission means that every single moment of your life, there's a new mission that the person has to do for that moment. The Riyak Kudosh says that when a person puts on tefillin, he puts on tefillin on Nidalat Kislev Shnasoshi and Pai Aleph, he says, this tefillin was waiting from the beginning of Shaishas and Maibirashis for this specific person to come along at this specific moment, this specific day, to put on the tefillin. No one else could accomplish this mitzvah of tefillin besides for this person. The tefillin was waiting for so many thousands of years for this year to come along and put on tefillin. And the same thing is every single moment that we go through the day and we do various mitzvahs, then you have to understand that this is a mitzvah that was waiting for us to do it, and there's no one else that could do the mitzvah that we are doing. And obviously there's the bigger mission that we have, which is the major mission that we don't necessarily always know, but every person has something that he could accomplish, some big thing that he could accomplish throughout his life. So we have our big mission, we have our small mission, and Rabbeinu Shlomo gave us the exact tools that we need, the exact tools that we need in order to accomplish our mission. So that's how we find that people are born in different families, people are born in different places, people are born with different talents. So you have a person who's born, you have one person who's born in the middle of a B'nai Brak, and he's born to a family of B'nai Torah, Rosh Hashivas, and he's born with the ability to sit in one place and learn for 12 hours in one go. Then you have another person who's born in Hampstead, here in London, and they're not necessarily that his parents were even from, could be they were, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that he has the ability to sit and concentrate so long in one place. Then you have another person who's born somewhere in the middle of America, somewhere in the middle of Williamsburg, they could have a Chiddush person, they could have a Litvish person, a Spadish person. Every person who's born within a different environment, a different family, a different background, he's faced with a different family, with a different wife, different children, and a different atmosphere, a different place. And that's all unique for this person, specific person for his specific mission. He got the exact needs and exact tools that he needs in order to accomplish exactly what he will need in for his tafkid v'olam hazeh. So that's why when the person comes and he asks himself this question, how could you say that I have everything and I'm not lacking anything? I am lacking something. There's something in my eyes that I feel I could have done with more. But the answer to that question is, if you think that the tax list that you were created, the reason why you were created was, the purpose is for olam hazeh, in order to enjoy life over here, then you may be right. Maybe I'm lacking something. But if someone understands that that's not the reason why we were created, we were created for something a lot bigger than that. We were created in order to have a mission to accomplish for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we were given the exact tools that we need, then the person could easily and happily say, Yeshli Kol, I have exactly what I need, no less and no more, for this specific moment, for this specific mission. But the same thing also applies not only for the talents that the person was created with and the environment that the person was put into, but could also be the challenges that the person goes throughout his life. Very often the person goes through a difficult time in Islam. It could be in Olam, it could be Begashmias, and very often it could be Berachmias also. The person feels that he's lacking. He's going through a challenge, he's lacking something, there's something in his life that he needs. But again, the person has to understand that could be this itself is also part of his mission. Could be this itself is also part of his mission. But very often it could be that the Ribbono Shel Olam, his mission for this specific moment is to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to become close to him. And the fact is that if a person goes through a challenging time, then the Messiah says he becomes much more, if he davens properly and sincerely, then he becomes much closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We already mentioned it before, the Chazanish says that the challenges are mahadik, they tie the knot between the person and the Ribbono Shel Olam, because it brings the person much closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, very often, this closeness that the person feels when he knows that he has to come onto the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the type of closeness that he would not have been able to achieve if not for the fact that he had gone through this challenging time. So very often, this itself is his mission, and it's something which is eternal, because once he made this case, he made this relationship, this closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's going to stay with him forever. So by going through this challenging time, and hopefully it passes very quickly, then he's already gained something. He took something out of this whole thing, and he brought it along with him, and he became closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then again, so the fact that he was lacking something, although in his eyes it looked like he was lacking something, but the truth was that this was not considered lacking. It was not chasurin. It happens to be the other way around. This was actually the tool that he had used in order to accomplish the mission that he was meant to accomplish for this moment, which is to bring him closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And very often it could be that the person thinks something is bad for him, and it turns out that this itself could be the reason to bring him his salvation. As Hashem soon, maybe going to finish off with a story which brings out that point also. So again, you have this person who in his eyes, he views it as if he's lacking something, he's going through a bad day. And the truth is, it turns out later that this itself was the reason for itself.
Call Halashon.
And the same thing when a person goes through a challenge, Ruchnias, he goes through a difficult time, he goes through an Nisoyan. And the person has to also remember this thing. He has to remember, very often people get lost, they say, the Ribbono Shel Olam tested me with a test that I was unable to stand up to it. It was too difficult for me. If the person knows there's no such thing too difficult for you, Yeshli Koil, I have everything I need. The Ribbono Shel Olam sent you this challenge, then he gave you the tool in order to overcome the challenge, the Yeshli Koil. We say every day by davening, we say, B'Shem Imalchit, we say with Hashem's name, we say, Abruche, She'usu Li Kol Tzorki, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he made me everything, he gave me everything I need. How could you say She'usu Li Kol Tzorki when the person has a whole long list of things that he feels that he still needs, that he hasn't got? But the answer to that question is, it depends. If you view the Olam Hazeh as this is the final destination, then you're right. But someone who understands that he has a higher purpose and a bigger mission, then he could easily say, with Hashem's name, Hashem Imalchis, as She'usu Li Kol Tzorki, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me everything that I needed. The fact is, someone who lives with this concept that he is not lacking anything for this specific moment. Now, that does not mean that I'm not allowed to daven for the future and ask for the Ribbono Shel Olam to give me the things that I want. Yeah? But you can't say that these are things that I need. things that I need is only what the Rebbeinu Shalom felt is important for me to have now. You could want, you're allowed to want, and the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to want. And very often the Rebbeinu Shalom sends you this thing that you're lacking certain things in your life because he wants you to daven, and he wants you to ask for these things, he wants you to request for these things. And that itself could be the mission. But the first has to understand this, at this give any given moment, at this moment, I have everything that I need. And when it comes to regarding the future, I'm going to ask for things that I feel I'm still lacking in my life, and you have to ask, and it's a mission to ask, but for this specific moment, I have everything. Someone who lives with this thing, this concept of yeshli koil, I have everything, I'm never lacking anything, I haven't got too much, I haven't got too little, he is happy. He is content within himself, he is happy, he is serene, he's relaxed because he knows he's got someone taking care of him and someone who's giving him everything, all of his needs are all taken care of. Whereas someone who lives like Ayat Varusha, yeshli roiv, have more than enough, have less than enough, he could very easily, his mood could very easily swing up. One time it could be on a high, and then the next day it could be on a low. It could be fall into depression because he's the one taking care of himself. And then he has his ups and downs. Sometimes he has everything he wants, and sometimes he hasn't got anything he wants. That's the Yeshli Roiv. So my grandfather said as follows. He said, when Isa Verusha came, and he saw Yaakov Avinu standing there with his wives and children, and he saw that they were all so relaxed and so content and so happy within himself, and he had to understand what's the secret. What's this thing? How could they achieve this level of serenity, this level of happiness? So he asked them, Milchu kol hamachna azeh shebegoshti. Who is this? How did he manage to make such a family, to build such a family who are living with, who are able to live with this inin of kol, with this inin of yeshli kol, I have everything I need, I'm not lacking anything. On that, Yaakov Avinu answered them, Limtu chayin ba'ayna adoini. Limtu chayin ba'ayna adoini means the Rebbeinu Shalom. Because we live for a higher mission. We live for a higher purpose. We understand that the reason why we were created is in order to limtu chayin ba'ayna Rebbeinu, in order to be moitzu chayin by the Rebbeinu Shalom. Someone who understands that his mission in life is to live up to the expectations of the Rebbeinu Shalom, then he is not lacking anything. He is limtu chayin ba'ayna adoini. He has the smile of yeshli koi. I once thought that could be that pshat in Pusik. I think it's a nice pshat, I call based on this. The Pusik says in Parashat Kisovai that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives the toicha to the Klal Yisrael, gives them many bad things. And the Pusik says, why? The Pusik says these words, Tachas ashaloi uvadutu es Hashem alekeichu v'simchu evetoiv laivav mayroiv koil. Mayroiv koil. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom, the reason why his complaint is, why did you not exchange this roiv, this mid of Ice of Arusha, that says Yeshli roiv, you should have exchanged the Ice of Arusha for this mid of Yaakov Avinu, which is the coil. Had you exchanged the roiv to the coil, then you would have been able to achieve this level of Simcha, the Tivlaizov, and then you would have been able to achieve the Tachlis. So that's something that we could definitely take out. I'll finish off with the story. Today is the Yutzat of my great-grandfather, the Chalkot Yaakov, he was a great Seguan, one of the Gaonim, he was called the Motche Yaakov Breish. He was the Ruf in Zurich. He was the Ruf in Zurich, and he was one of the great, great Pesachim of his time, a great Seguan. Today is the Yutat, the Motche Yaakov Ben Reb Chaim. So I'll tell you one story that happened to him, which brings out this point that the person went through a challenging time, where at the time he thought that it was something which couldn't get worse. And then it turns out that this was his salvation. He became Reuven in a town in Germany. This was in the 1929, I think it was. He became the Reuven in a small town in Germany called Diersburg. Diersburg, that's where he lived. And of course, he came there and he managed to, people were very, very schwach in Yiddishkeit, and he managed to blow in them a chiyuv Yiddishkeit. He managed to transform the place. He built the Eiref, he built the mikveh, and he managed built up the place, and it was very, very connected with the entire community, was very close to them. There was at one point, it was I think 1933, when Hitler Yimach Shemoy came to power, or there was the Nazis came to power, and then things started to get bad for the Klal, for the Yidden, and there's something called the Hitler Youth. They used to go around and they used to cause havoc and trouble. So it was at that time, it was in 1933, it was in Chodesh Ude. There was a Rebbe that came to town. This Rebbe was the Sadigera Rebbe. He was the great-grandfather of the Sadigera that lived here in London. His name was Remat Cheshulam Yosef of Sadigera. He came to this town, Diersburg, in Germany, and he stayed by my great-grandfather's house. Okay, so he took the Rebbe in, and he hosted him for Shabbos. Once for Shabbos, the Rebbe decided he wants to make him an Avimelech. They made him an Avimelech in his house, and of course, the people heard that Rebbe's making Malach Malkus, so people came to the house. He was not very happy about it because he knew that he had Goyish neighbors that lived next door, and there's only a recipe for disaster. Sure enough, you know, they had made this fish and it started singing very loud, and it was probably by that time it was pretty quite late at night. And the neighbor, the Goyish neighbor that lived downstairs, came running up the stairs, pounding on the door, and started screaming and yelling, "What are you doing? Keeping me up at night? I can't sleep." So he had this chusid there who didn't have much tayachal in his head, and he turns over to this guy, you know, she's someone who's going to travel away tomorrow. He didn't have any problem with this German guy. He says to him, who asked you to come here? No one asked you to come here. Go back to your house and don't disturb us. So in the middle of a tish now, you can't disturb us. And he got very scared, my grandfather, because he knew that this is not going to end very good. This guy started screaming at him and said, "Zi velem acheren for me. You will still hear from me, and I will not go away from this without answering back." Sure enough, he went straight to the SS headquarters, and he told them that the Jewish rabbi, and you know, he started telling them, not sure what he told them, but they had something to come on. And sure enough, the next morning, after the Rebbe had already left, a whole group of five SS soldiers pounded on the door. They came in, and they beat him up black and blue. The mamash, they almost killed him. He survived, Baruch Hashem. 3 days later, there's another knock on the door. The SS soldiers are there again, and they escorted him to the town square. So they put on him a flag of the enemy. I don't know who the enemy of Germany was at the time. They put a flag of him as the enemy, and they walked him in the center of town, pulling his beard. Yes, they had the whole town. Everyone came out to look. Had thousands of goyim came out to look, and there happens to be a picture of this whole thing. I saw a picture of this whole thing of him walking the streets, being pulled by this German soldier by his beard, and then having hundreds and thousands of goyim clapping and smiling and happy. That was in 1933. They brought him to the town square. There was a huge fire prepared there, and he knew that what they were planning on doing is basically, they put the flag around him in order to throw him together with the flag. And just as he came, just before the fire, a big soldier turns up, a very high officer turns up, and he says, "Leave him alone, I'm going to take care of him." He has no severity, has no idea who this fellow was. He took him to the police station, and he told them, "Rabbi Breisch, you have to take the next train. You leave from it straight away because for your life. I'm warning you, you have to escape within the next train. Don't even go back to your family. Don't even go back to say goodbye to your wife and five children. Take the next train and leave." So, of course, he did that because he knew that his soul was dangerous, and he left. Now, at the time, you could imagine what this fellow thought. And all because of this, who asked this chusid to be so silly and so stupid and tell this boy, had he not said that, then I wouldn't have had all this trouble. I wouldn't have had to escape from the town. Ayid is Ayid, he knows that the Rebbein Shlomim does it for good. He left town, he went to Antwerp, and he sat there for a few months in Antwerp without his wife and children who were left behind in Duisburg. Of course, once he was there, he had to look for a new position in order to sustain himself, and he was offered a position in a town in France called Lens. L-E-N-S, Lens. What? How do you spell it? Lens? Lens? That's how you pronounce it? Lens? No. Lens,
without
Lens. Lens? All right. Okay. It's going to take me time to learn French.
Yeah.
Because when we got to this town, yeah, he said there was a 600 Yiddish families there. Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, he came there. He came to this town, and the people so they loved him so much. And Imam Shishat, he built a mikveh at the time. He built a new mikveh. He was there for just over a month, and he applied to get a visa for him and his family to be able to come over. Just as he made a chenikas habayis, he managed to build this beautiful new mikveh, and the whole town was there. That day, he gets a letter from the post, from the French government, a letter, "Your application for the visa was declined, and not only is your family not allowed in, but you yourself, I give you 72 hours to leave town." That's it. You can imagine that was the second time running. That's the second time in 3 months that he lost his job. And again, he's left without anything, so he went back to Antwerp. That a few months later, he gets he heard that in Zurich there was a shield there that had the vacancy for a post there, so he applied, not knowing that he was one of 75 applications of people who applied for this position, and he was the youngest of all the applicants, and between them there were many, many major gedolim. So he didn't know that. He applied for a job, and the way it worked those days is that you went for a Shabbos, you went for a Shabbos there, and you gave drushas there, so they invited him to come for a Shabbos Shiva, just before Rosh Hashanah. That was, I think, in 1934, 1935. He was invited to Zurich. He came there, and his job was the Shabbat after Rosh Hashanah. He was there for Rosh Hashanah. But when it came to Musaf, the Batfile had to start Ashrei There was about to start Asher Yishuv and Tehu, and all of a sudden the Tzotzillah lost his voice. He couldn't get sound out of his mouth. So the killer was stuck there without the Tzotzillah, and there was no one there. It was a killer from Manhattan. They weren't very learned people, and no one else was able to take over. So they saw he was standing there. Rabbi Brash asked him, "Do you, by any chance, are you able to daven?" He said, "Yes." And he started davening, and he had a beautiful voice, and davening so warm and so thing, and he captivated the Oidim. He davened at both the Rosh Hashanah, and they decided there and then, even without waiting for him to give a Drusha, they decided he's going to become the Nuru. Now, that was, just imagine how, then they had other Rabbunim who were major, major Gedoidim, but they took him. Why? Because he had a nice voice. Anyway, to make a long story short, he was given the position, he got the position, and of course, he managed to obtain visas for him and his wife. And at that time, he already had 6 children. He had another child when he was away from home. His wife gave birth to another child. Him and his wife and 6 children were able to obtain visas to Zurich. And needless to say, he was the sole survivor of the entire town, Duisburg, and he was sole survivor one of the only survivors of the town. We said before, he was one of the only survivors of that town. So something which at the time he thought he was lacking something, he didn't have something, turned out to be his salvation. He was saved because that Chusse decided to scream at this Goyish or German Goy. That was the reason why he was saved. Him and his entire family were saved from the Holocaust. It just brings out this point that the person has to understand everything the Bnei Shalom does. I have everything I need. Yeshli koil. I have everything that I need. And then next time we make the brucha, she'usuli kol sarki, we could say the pemulai, that yes, at this moment we have everything and anything that we need in order to fulfill our mission in this world.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.